to the Indian Newsling podcast.
Good afternoon. Today we have Mahesh Bindra, former Member of Parliament from New Zealand First, a dear friend and a very astute observer of many things that go around the world. But today, we thought we would discuss one of the most interesting and exciting topics, that's the Indian elections. India goes to polls in 7 phases from April 19th to June 1. 968.7 million people will vote, are eligible to vote in the coming elections, which makes it the largest electoral exercise in the world. By sheer numbers, there will be 15 million security people employed, which is 3 times the population of New Zealand, to oversee the elections in India. India is an example of shining democracy. There are lots of issues that one can discuss. So we welcome you, Mahesh. I always call you my Thambi, my younger brother, because that's the respect and love we have for you. Welcome to Indian Newsling podcast.
Good afternoon, Venkatji. You have already been kind to me, and thank you very much for the invitation to come and meet you and Jacob here. I'm really pleased that I could make it, and I'll be able to spend some meaningful time with both of you and answer a few questions that you may have.
Thank you. Mahesh, as we know, the first phase of the elections begins on the 19th of April. Tamil Nadu will be one of the states that goes into election, where there's a lot of focus that is being put. BJP, the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, which currently has around 323 seats in the 584 assembly in Lok Sabha, along with the NDA, the National Democratic Alliance, they say that the projection is that BJP on its own will win around 400 seats. This is what both Prime Minister Narendra Modi as well as the Home Minister Amit Shah, the former president of BJP, has said. 400 for BJP and 400 plus for the NDA. What is your take as a person who observes Indian politics as well as you observe the New Zealand politics? What is your take on the scene?
Venkatji, as you said, that I have some close friends within the Indian parliamentary system and the Indian business world.
Right.
So, I think the target set up by BJP for BJP is 370 seats for themselves and 400 plus with the NDA included.
Right.
That's my understanding,
right.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It is a very ambitious target, but BJP this time appears to be geared up to meet those targets.
Mahesh, it seems to be very obvious that BJP will return to power for the third term, and Narendra Modi will set a record for being a third time Prime Minister, set earlier only by Jawaharlal Nehru. That seems to be almost certain from what we hear. But there are lots of other things that seem to be going on in India at the moment. One, the continued raids by the Enforcement Directorate or ED on political parties, the arrest of Arvind Kejriwal, the Chief Minister of Delhi, and the prosecution that is going against him. I'll come one by one to each of those. And thirdly, the electoral bonds issue. Do you think, as a democracy, India can afford to have such developments happen before the election, where opposition parties are almost being muted with these raids? Congress says that all its assets have been frozen. They don't have money to spend on elections. Kejriwal is may not be, he will not be allowed to campaign outside. So what is your take on this scenario?
Yes, Indian democracy is the largest in size and very, very potent, I would say. Very real democracy. As far as the raids are concerned, I think what the government is trying to be, has been trying to justify is the raids are conducted by ED, and ED is an independent entity. It does come under Home Ministry. However, it is not controlled by Home Ministry. That is the stance taken by the government. It is for them to explain that. Just because there are elections doesn't mean that the government entities have to stop functioning. That's what I think. If it is a criminal case, the police is not going to wait for the election to get over. They have to take action
right
when they have to take action. And this has been going on for some time now. You would recall that it is heard that Mr. Kejriwal declined to accept 9 warrants.
Yeah.
Those were government warrants. And I think he got told off by the High Court that whatever you have to explain, go and explain to the ED. And just not accepting warrants is not a good option. So, but it is up to his wisdom to whether how he handles those warrants. But the reality is that he has made a record for himself that, refusing to take 9 warrants is never heard of before. And that too by a responsible person like a chief minister of a state. So, what will be the outcome of that arrest and the case is yet to be seen. Because there are a multiple number of politicians, I'm not saying involved, but accused in that scam. As far as the other thing you mentioned was about the electoral bonds.
I'll come to electoral bonds in a moment, if
okay,
you may.
Okay.
The warrants, by the way, were not issued by the government. They were issued by the High Court of Delhi. Because warrants cannot be issued by governments. It has to be issued by the law enforcement authority.
At the request of ED.
Yeah. The charge that the government, the BJP government faces today is that why is it that only the opposition parties have been targeted? Why is it that no one from the BJP has faced any of these charges relating to corruption or electoral, etc.? That's one part of it. The second part is, why is it that Narendra Modi in an interview 4 days ago said that there are 7,000 cases that ED has currently is processing. Only 3% of them belong to political cases. That's what he says.
Yep.
But the perception of the people is that BJP is deliberately targeting the opposition party because of election. So that they can, I'll come to the Tamil Nadu part of it, or the states in which BJP is struggling to have a hold in the ensuing election. So according to you, you say that it is not any particular motive, it is a part of the process that the enforcement directorate follows. Is that, am I correct in interpreting?
That is my understanding of the system there. But ED today is, I think it is an independent...
What happens, Mahesh, in this case is, this is what the fear of many of the Indian community people who here in New Zealand is that, is India moving towards a one-party democracy? Are we moving towards an election which is very similar to Bangladesh, where there is no opposition party?
I hope not, because... I am a worshipper of democracy and democratic values. So no party should be allowed to function like that. But then there are courts for those who think that only BJP people are being left kept aside and only the opposition are being targeted. For that there are courts in the country, and the courts are very, very independent in India, as you would know.
Yeah. That I agree with you that the courts are independent. So which takes me to the electoral bonds issue. Now, the Supreme Court of India has declared that the electoral bonds are invalid. And the person who implemented the bonds, Mr. Garg, who is now retired, he was the Secretary of the Economics Affairs of the Finance Ministry when the bonds were implemented in 2017. He has said it is not correct. And the husband of the finance minister has even declared that it is the worst fraud he has come across in the Indian politics. So when we look at all this, we have not seen any possible or acceptable explanation from the BJP about the electoral bonds, the way it has been implemented, the kind of people who have donated money, which is almost $1.75 billion, of which about 53% has gone to the BJP.
The last speech I heard of the Indian Home Minister, he had said that BJP got only 1,600 crores. TMC got about 4,200. And a party in the South got about 2,700 per capita. Per capita, BJP got the least amount of per capita, as in the number of MPs in the parliament.
Yeah.
As against the donations. Per capita, BJP got the least of all donations. That's what he explained. But that's not for me to explain.
No, but anyway, as far as the figures that have been released, is that BJP is a majority recipient of the electoral bonds thing. Be as it may, because that is an issue which might perhaps come up a little later. But do you sincerely think, where is India leading as far as democracy is concerned?
I think India has a robust democracy. It always happens that the incumbency government is always opposed, and so it should be, because no party should be allowed to rule unquestioned. So questioning the ruling party is always a good thing for the democracy. Now, you may question the government, you may question the you may question the party, but you cannot say that because we are being targeted or because the ED is raiding the opposition,
right,
the democracy is weaker. It's not. The democracy is still strong. It's just that those who are being raided or who are being targeted by ED may think that they are being victimized. If BJP people are not involved in these scams, why would they be targeted? Why would they be raided?
Right. There was one question, Mahesh. I take what you say about the democracy part of it. A lot of people who are eligible to vote, non-resident Indians, you and I are not in that category.
No.
Non-resident Indians, meaning people holding Indian nationality, who they can only vote if they happen to be in the constituency on the day of the election. A question was asked to Foreign Minister, External Affairs Minister Jaishankar in Malaysia 4 or 5 days ago. Why not allow NRIs to vote in the place where they are? And he explained that it's not that easy because India follows electronic system and the dates are different, time zones are different. It's very difficult. So what is your message to the NRIs in New Zealand who are eligible to vote?
Look, I'm nobody to give a message to NRI Indians because I am an NRI, but I'm not an Indian citizen anymore.
You're not an NRI. You're a person of Indian origin, like me.
I'm a person of Indian origin, yes. So if they are keen to vote, if they are still eligible to vote and they are keen to vote, then they should make a trip to India and vote there.
Yeah. Okay. How do you see what according to you is the general feeling among the Indian community in New Zealand? When I mean Indian community, people from India, how do they perceive the coming elections?
I'll talk about myself first.
Yeah.
I'll speak for myself first. I have been going back to India earlier every year or a couple of years. But in between 2016 and 2020, when we were building the brewing business there, I traveled almost 3 times a year.
Mm.
So every time I go back to India, there is some improvement in infrastructure, some improvement in people's level of happiness,
right.
Some improvement in people's affordability.
Yep.
You would see today the maid servant coming to people's homes to work.
Yeah,
they carry smartphones.
And so perhaps drive their own cars.
Our maid comes on a scooty.
Okay.
So, you know, so there is an extra cash there. Affordability has gone up. People are living cleaner lives now.
Mm.
That's what is my observation. But people may differ from me. Infrastructure-wise, now you see, particularly in the urban areas, you see massive housing complexes with facilities like clubhouses and restaurants and bars and swimming pools, which was not heard of earlier. So Mumbai particularly is not a city of slums.
Yeah, the Navi Mumbai, new causeway that has been built is the longest in the country and it takes only 20 minutes.
I come from Navi Mumbai.
Yeah.
And our business also is in Navi Mumbai. State-of-the-art malls, state-of-the-art railway stations. You know, earlier the railway stations were just a shed.
Yeah.
Today,
I think today India builds about 45 kilometers of motorway or highway every day. I mean, it's a record.
I've heard 35 kilometers a day.
Yeah. It's something phenomenal.
Yeah.
Last question to you, Mahesh, is that you're an entrepreneur. You have established businesses in India recent times. And we believe that any engagement with India should be business to business as well, not just government to government.
Absolutely.
So I think a time has come when someone like you sits down along with, last week we had Simon Bridges, Chief Executive of Auckland Business Chamber. He's very keen to build business relationship with India and he's looking for people like you. So I'm hoping that you will join hands with us and develop a facility or a system whereby we will be able to engage with businesses and improve the relationship between the two countries.
Oh, well, that has been on the cards for a very long time now, few years now. And now that I'm no longer in the parliament, I've had the time to reflect on it. I think something is happening in that space.
Wonderful. We look forward to hearing about it. And on that note, thank you very much, Mahesh. It has been a pleasure to have you with us. And we hope to have more such discussions in the coming months.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Indian NewsLink podcast.